Welcome back. You are listening to EAA Radio 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and on the internet at airventure.org. This is Magneto Mel, and I am joined in the studio now with Lane Wallace.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
And good.
She's a columnist with Flying Magazine, actually the West Coast editor. Is that correct?
Both. Two hats.
Yeah. Both two hats.
Yeah.
And what are some of the duties of wearing those hats?
Oh, you know, it's tough. I have to go fly my airplane, have adventures, and write stories about them. And that's basically
sounds
it.
Like
you
a know, hard
it's,
job.
It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it.
What do you fly?
I personally right now have a Grumman Cheetah, 1977 Grumman Cheetah. I've had that for 8 years. My first airplane was a Cessna 120 that I had with a partner for 7 years, which old airplanes are how I got into it. I got a biplane ride, things got out of hand, and I ended up a pilot, even though I never intended to.
So. Oh, well. That's happened to a few of us. So.
That's happened to a few people. So, but it's fun. You know, I get to, I've somehow ended up with the gig at flying that it's my job to go find not so much the hardware. Sometimes I write about the hardware, but more the passion and the adventure and the people. And so,
and how did you fall into the writing aspect of
My first column came out in April of 1999, and everybody thought I just landed on the planet, and I've been writing about airplanes, scrapping by, trying to make a living at it for 10 years.
Funny.
So, you know, I was in the right place at the right time after, you know, an overnight, you know, landing at Flying Magazine after working at it for 10 years. But really, I think it's, I wrote a story, there was a story I went to do on the B-24 Liberator and the B-17 that were the Collings Foundation were taking around the country. I was doing a story on barnstormers, modern-day barnstormers, and I stood there in the B-24 doing a story, and this middle-aged guy walks in and asks if he can sit in the cockpit. And the pilot says, well, you know, we really don't let people in the cockpit. It's a flying airplane. But he had a look on his face like there was something behind this. He said, is there a reason? And the guy says, well, my dad was a B-24 pilot, and my mom was pregnant with me when he left for the war, and he was killed in a raid over Germany, and I never knew him, and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, you can sit there. And I watched this man in the airplane, in the left seat, with his hands running over the control yoke and the instruments, and, you know, I was thinking, God, those hands could be his father's, you know, that the airplane had just, like, turned into a time machine. And I was really looking at his hands, and then I looked up, and this man has just tears streaming down his face.
Wow.
And I realized he's touching his father, and maybe for the first time in 50 years. And I thought, my God, this is, you know, I know airplanes connect people, but this is powerful.
That was, yeah.
And I went back to try to write the story for the magazine, you know, that story. I was like, yeah, the rest of this is not so important. This is important. They went, ooh, a little mushy for our audience.
Okay.
Ah, they're laying your little out there. So
no,
I wrote it anyway, and I put it on the side, and 2 years later, 4 years later, I mean, some distance where you wonder, why did I feel like I needed to write this? But my heart wanted to do it, so I did it, and was talking to Mac McClellan, and he said, yeah, I've read some of your stuff, and I said, you know, there's this other, I'd like to write with my own voice, and this is the kind of thing I'd like to write about. Sent him this thing that had been sitting in the drawer for 4 years, and he called me the next day and said, if this is how you write, I want you writing for Flying, would you like a column? So, you know, sometimes when you do what your heart tells you to do, it's not like the universe rewards you right away, and you wonder, why was I doing this?
Sometimes it takes a path to get there.
It takes a little bit of a circuitous path, you know. So that is what I do at Flying. I'm allowed to write from my heart about the things that I think matter most about why we do this flying thing, why we're on the planet, and how we're all connected and, you know, being alive. And
that has to be rewarding.
That's a pretty good deal.
Now, how does that, is that related to, or is it a completely different hat then that you wear when you do the editor?
The editor, you know, they blend. The editor is more, you know, when I go over and I interview someone about the forward-looking infrared equipment that they now put on Huskies, you know, that's being an editor more than it is a columnist. That's okay. There's an industry here that we're supporting, that we try to give information out to people so that they have more information about choices they can make and what's coming down the pike and all of that. So there is some news stuff that comes with it. There are things that we go cover because it's good for the manufacturers, it's good for the industry, it's good for the consumers. The column is where I get to just, you know, be myself in myself of what do I, why do I do this, in a sense that I do try to touch what's universal in it for all of us, the universal experience. I may have this specific experience in my airplane over the North Carolina mountains, but from the mail I get back, we all have had those moments, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. If you fly airplanes long enough, you touch the whole rainbow of experience from, you know, wonder and beauty to terror and ugly. So
And just success and accomplishment for a lot of people in being able to do that and being, you know, in control of their own aircraft and, you know.
Well, it's interesting. The dichotomy is, you know, we're so that they've, I've read somebody's PhD thesis. They studied pilots and they said, you know, we have a different personality type than the normal person.
Than the normal person.
We're very much like an entrepreneur. We want to be in control. We're very independent. We don't play well with others. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, this all okay. But the interesting thing is here we are all certified control freaks. We want our own destiny. We want to be in control. So what do? We get in these small airplanes where we take on Mother Nature, who always wins. You know, you're not completely in control. And if you fly old airplanes or VFR, definitely you end up not where you intended to go. So it's just fascinating to me that we put ourselves, we're so drawn to wanting to be in control that we put ourselves in this thing that, truth is, you have to learn what you can control and what you really need to let go of.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, when they fly small planes, they equate it to being a passenger in the larger aircraft. And, you know, I think it's that sense of control, not necessarily control over, you know, the bigger...
Everything is relative.
The bigger picture, but,
right.
you know, allowing someone else to do that dance with Mother Nature as opposed to getting to do it yourself. Maybe that would be a better
perspective. And then they're probably going, you know, I wish I were in the back having a drink and letting someone else deal with this thunderstorm.
Sometimes. Now, Flying Magazine has always had quite a presence at EAA, very involved with a lot of different aspects of promotion and whatnot here. I know for several years I wouldn't eat very well if it wasn't for the VIP lunches that they sponsor back there. So what all does Flying Magazine have going on here
on
the grounds?
Well, we have the flying tent, which is the most visible thing, which is the big red tent out on near Aeroshell Square. And that's where we sell all the T-shirts and the gear. If you want flying gear, that's the place to go. We do a lot of back support of other things that you don't see us at, but you'll see a little flying sign, which means we're enabling something else to happen. And then I always do, some years I'm more publicly present than others, just depending on what my work schedule is. I'm giving a forum today at 11:30 on stories. I call it Stories from the Road, which is, you know, you see what you see in the magazine generally is like this little scratchy surface of the real story that goes on because it doesn't all fit. And some of it's not appropriate for the magazine. But sometimes the backstory is more interesting, you know, or more entertaining than actually what ends up, in the story that comes out. So that's an opportunity, certainly at least once here at Oshkosh. I try to make myself available if people want to come. So I'm doing that at 11:30 today at Pavilion 11, which I think is the Remos Pavilion now, over in the Forum Plaza. You know, you'll see us out and about the show, and we all, you know, we don't necessarily spend a lot of time in the tent because there's so much to cover here. The show has expanded so much. When I first started coming here in 1986, it was... It was this like little small thing, and now you just you walk 5 miles just trying to get back and forth.
It's not the kind of show that you can just sit in one place and experience it anyway. So I think somebody said that you put on an average of 7 miles a day.
I think that's probably true. I know I do
here.
Five. You know, and that's on a short day. So there you go. You know, we're all getting back in shape and seeing airplanes all at the same time.
For one week,
in walking shape. It's great.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for being with us here. Was there anything else that you'd like to share with anybody about Flying Magazine?
I think the thing that has put flying on the map for all these years is that it allows, you know, you have this stable of writers. You have this, like, friends ensemble of individuals who are very passionate about what they do. Mm. We have different areas, you know, Len Morgan and Gordon Baxter, Dick Collins, Peter Garrison. I mean, we all have our areas that we're most passionate about, and it comes together. Just like if you look at Oshkosh, there's so many different kinds of airplanes, and some people aren't into warbirds, some people aren't into ultralights, but there's something for everybody. And I think the key is, you know, for us is certainly to speak with our own voice with all the passion that we can bring to it. And I think there's something in that, again, always looking for the universal, is what's made us successful is following that voice within and speaking it with all the energy and the passion we can. And it's worked for flying, and I think there's a lesson in that, and like that even if it looks crazy, if you're passionate about something, you put all the energy and the passion of your heart into singing with that true voice with everything you got, you may end up in an interesting place, but it'll be an okay place, and you'll be fine.
Fortunate enough to like what you do.
It's worth more money than all of Bill Gates's billions.
Well, thank you again for joining us. This has been Lane Wallace, and she's a columnist and the West Coast editor with Flying Magazine. And of course, you can find you, I'm sure, on the web as well.
Yes. So www.flyingmag.com.
Okay. You are listening to EAA Radio. This is Magneto Mel on 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and around the world on airventure.org.